You're listening to Phraseology Plus AI with your hosts and guides, Philippe Santos and Miguel Santos. Follow us as we uncover everything you need to dominate search rankings and increase your online visibility. Get information bridging SEO and digital marketing with artificial intelligence. Staying updated on the latest tools, technologies, and strategies to make sure you're always one step ahead. Phraseology is the podcast show to keep you in the know. Without further delay, let's get into the episode. Today, I'm excited about the topic. We're talking about the highlighting the journey of traditional content creation methods and basically how AI is helping to kind of make more digital strategies effective. It's also really kind of important to understand its application and some of the advanced workflows that will come about in the next couple, I would say months even. Today, we're speaking with Rohan Kulkarni, founder of wordsmith.ai. He's an accomplished marketing leader, 12 years under his belt, and he's kind of operated at several startups and major companies, including Visa. There's also his really long stint as a CMO of a Series B startup, which is great. A lot of experience. His career spans pretty much all of marketing and engineering. He's done analytics, operations, product marketing, growth marketing, and brand marketing as well. Also, as an MIT alum, Rohan started out really doing software engineering. So building complex software for the semiconductor industry puts him in the right place at the right time now to build up this particular platform. Impressively, the wordsmith.ai is kind of a culmination of those two passions. So with that, the other big thing is that he's also a father. So talk about really being busy. I just wanted to give it, kind of turn it over to you, Rohan, and let you like run with this, describing a little bit about the Wordsmith and kind of how you got into all of that.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for having me on the podcast, Philippe. I'm super excited and very happy to be collaborating with you on this and really appreciate the very generous introduction and setting the context. So yeah, I think, as you said, I've been in marketing and engineering for many years previously. And the whole idea about the Wordsmith started out in sort of mid-2023. It had been about, you know, close to a year. ChatGPT had been out. We'd been, you know, using various AI tools for, you know, improving productivity, looking at how it can help with augmenting our content creation. And what I realized is that whether it was ChatGPT or other tools in the market, they weren't serving the purpose that sort of we were trying to achieve, which is generate content or get help assistance in the process with a lot of deep context, right, that the AI tools would have. So, you know, as an engineer, as a marketer myself, I thought, you know, why not try to build something from the ground up, which is built on the foundation of context and brand. I was at Visa many years ago, and I've seen sort of how brands like Visa get built over years, and, you know, they stand the test of time. So sort of bringing these two elements of, you know, context and brand together as the foundation on which the AI operates and helps with content creation is what the vision for the Wordsmith was. And now sort of it's come to life as a product of its own. So it's an AI assistant that helps you throughout the creative process, everything from planning and ideation to content creation and distribution. And it has a bunch of productivity tools, you know, every bottleneck that we face on an everyday basis that AI could really help sort out and, you know, help us generate better throughput on content while not compromising on brand and quality. So that's the genesis of the wordsmith.ai. I spent about the first 4 months or so on, you know, developing, release the product early to close friends and colleagues, you know, to get early feedback. And I think as Reid Hoffman says, like, if you're not embarrassed with your first release, you've released too late. And I saw that firsthand. I mean, if I go back a few months, the product, the way it was first released was fun. It worked, but it has come a long way. It's come a long way over the last few months. We've developed a lot of new features and, you know, capabilities into the product based on early feedback. It's live in the market and getting some good response for it.
Very awesome. Yeah, I was very impressed by the features. And when you walked me through the tool as well, kind of cool to know that you're building in these really advanced prompts that allow the quality of the content to be really, really solid. And particularly when you're talking about specializations. So I really love that. With that, I guess we can kind of talk a little bit about maybe getting your perspective the importance of content creation and kind of like maybe some examples you might have heard about or have gone through with regards to content marketers and businesses and why they might need to create like content using a tool like this.
Yeah. So content, right? I mean, content is as old as marketing. Brands, companies have been sharing their knowledge, sharing their expertise, information about their products, you know, educating their audiences for since time immemorial, right? And over the years, the formats and the platforms on which content gets consumed has changed, right? But the core concept of why you need content remains the same, which is you want to build that trusted connection with your audience, with your, you know, future customers and existing customers. You want to be able to show your expertise, show your know-how about the area that your product or service is in. And that's sort of what we want to do with content marketing. Now, over the years, at least in the last decade or so, consumer behavior around content consumption has changed. I mean, we went from consuming predominantly text-based content, you know, whether it was print magazines or the early internet, to now snackable content, you know, videos, podcasts, a lot of social media. The creator economy has, you know, exploded over the last few years. And the amount of content that's out there is exponentially greater than what it was just a few years ago, right? And the capabilities and platforms available for people to put that content out has also sort of helped the creation of really good content. But at the same time, because there is so much content coming out, it is very, very, very important for brands or creators to make sure that it stands out. Anybody can have a Substack newsletter. How do you make sure that it stands out, right? And then you overlay AI on top of it. Now everybody has the capability to create content at scale. You have a simple idea, you plug it into an AI tool, and it, you know, spits out ton of content that you can start using, right? So that's where sort of the next stage of content creation will evolve, where there is no going back from AI. Everybody is going to use AI, and the question becomes, how do you use it more effectively to continue creating content for your audience at the same time being able to stand out in the sea of content that's out there, right?
Yep, that's what I'm talking about.
Times right now for content marketing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was just going to get into that a little bit. So with regards to like the fact that now content is so atomized and there's a need for all this content, you need to stand out, but a lot of AI content that's been produced by, you know, I guess major platforms don't seem to have that little extra something. They're kind of like on the low quality spectrum of things. So with the wordsmith, I mean, what makes it like really so different to be able to accomplish that task successfully?
Yeah. So we start out with capturing as much of the company's DNA and brand DNA as we can to form the bottom layer, the foundation of the context, right? So you start out in either, you know, use a guided setup to fill out everything about the company, the product, its value propositions, differentiation, who the ideal customer profile is, or you can provide a URL of the company website, and the AI grabs all of that automatically as a starting point for you to take it from there, right? So that becomes the first step. So the tool understands every little aspect of the product, the language that you use on the website, right? You know, what are the value propositions that are articulated on the site, right? Brands have already done all of that hard work. So we capture all of that into the tool. The next step is the tone of voice. Now, tone of voice for brands, you can tell, even if two brands are operating in the same space, have similar products, they look and sound different, right? I mean, you and I as marketers for many years, we can intuitively see that, right? And consumers notice that as well when they see content from Coca-Cola versus Pepsi, right? Or Lyft versus you. So that forms the next step, where we really curate a tone of voice that's as unique as the brand and reflects the values, the personality of the brand. And tone of voice, you know, you can, in very simple terms, define as, you know, serious, playful, you know, sarcastic, funny. But that, again, that can become very generic very soon. So we apply a brand personality framework to capture the brand's essence. So there's 10 different personality traits that users sort of choose on a scale choosing between two sets of two personality traits. And what that gives us is essentially over 240 unique combinations of brand personality traits. So that forms the foundation, right? So now we understand this 240 plus brand personality trait combinations. The next step we take into account is the brand purpose. You know, what are your values? What do you believe in? And finally, a sample piece of content, which has previously been created by the brand optionally. And these three layers of complexity that we take into account for curating the tone of voice is what gives it the uniqueness that every brand deserves and should be consistently using if you want to, you know, stand the test of time.
Well, yeah, thanks for giving me a little sneak peek under the hood here, because obviously that's a major concern, as you mentioned, with marketing and just being an entrepreneur. How do you make sure that the content quality is good? Because that matters to your audience. Going back a little bit back in time, I remember there were article spinners. And so like there's this a huge thing that's happening now where folks are trying to churn out so much AI content, put it out there, address all their concerns from an organic or like an earned media perspective. And it's not as good, right? So I'm wondering, like, what's your like ethos or your vision on how that should work with a tool like the Wordsmith?
Yeah, if you look at the evolution of how AI will impact marketing, the early days, right? If you go back to say beginning of 2023 or even 2022, where ChatGPT by itself was not out, but there were tools that were built on the old versions of the GPT API, right? I think early on, when a technology like this becomes available, there is opportunity for arbitrage, right? Companies that are early adopters can, you know, really use it to their advantage, you know, spin up articles at scale. I know there are some case studies out there where brands have, you know, stolen traffic from their competitors by, you know, replicating every piece of content that they had. But that's only the early stages, right? That's where there is disparity in adoption of AI or any technology for that matter. But I think we are reaching a point where a couple of things are changing. One is the adoption is growing. So now what the early adopters had access to, now everybody has access to, right? ChatGPT suddenly made AI available to everybody, and then it's followed by several other tools. And the second thing is the platforms and the publishers that make your content visible to the audience are catching up and making changes, where early on, say, Google wouldn't have anything specific in place to take into account whether content is AI generated or human generated, right? That is also changing. I mean, you are the SEO expert here, and you've seen every change that Google has made over the last barely handful of months, right? And the most recent update is, you know, coming out or has already come out. One thing I did notice in sort of this fluid evolving landscape is that the focus eventually is not going to be whether the content is AI generated or human generated, but it's whether the content is serving the purpose and helping the target audience get what they want out of it. That's sort of the gist of what Google is sort of rolling out. And it's not like if your content is AI generated, it's not going to be visible. So I think how smartly people use AI is going to be very important. And my perspective on where AI stands today is it's not quite ready, or I don't think it should be that ready, where it acts as an independent agent and spins out content that is ready to go out as is, right? So I think AI should augment creativity and productivity rather than replace the human touch, right? Or human-generated content. And you can do a lot with it. I mean, AI can give you really, really strong ideas for content creation. It can create drafts. It can give you outlines for content. If you're talking text, if you're talking images, it can give you concepts for images that you can then have a design team, you know, build it out on a brand. Right. So that's the role I see AI playing at least now and at least in the foreseeable future, where it doesn't replace human generated content or doesn't necessarily go for scale alone. Right. It has to augment where we become more productive, but at the same time, we are not losing the creativity of a marketer or copywriter or a content creator.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting. And like to kind of like chime a little bit on that, I feel like it also can help address a lot of the perceived pain points, right, from the marketer's perspective, and also maybe uncover some elements of the journey for the user that they want to attract. So I love that explanation because, yeah, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality, but you also need a little bit of a footprint, right? So that's what this tool helps you do, is build the proper footprint, a quality footprint. Yeah. To change direction a little bit here, with regard to like how AI's come on the scene and how it's like transferring so much so soon, everything's changing really quickly. I'd love to kind of get an idea of like what the landscape of content generation looks like and why you're kind of like able to tackle that and help people tackle that. Love that.
Yeah. Going back to the core of the product, the principles on which we're building it out, is to aspire to be like the great brands out there, right? And AI has raised the bar for creativity, right? You get a table stakes level of creativity ideation from most general purpose AI tools now, right? So how do you take that further, right? How do you apply your creativity to it and have that perfect combination of AI and human creativity? I think that's what we are aspiring to build. And I think that is what is going to make the future of content creation or the future of standing out in the sea of AI generated content super, super, super important, right? So I think understanding where AI plays a role in your workflow, right? And that's going to be different for everybody. If you take a small startup, you know, 2-3 people marketing team, you have the head of growth who's managing SEO. You have the head of growth, you know, running Google Ads. You have maybe one social media person who's doing social media, but also responding to PR requests or responding to HRO emails, right? So you had this sort of small, scrappy, high-performing team where AI can play a very different role in you know, helping them be more efficient and, you know, unlock channels and initiatives that would otherwise they wouldn't have been able to tap into, right? Can we do Reddit ads? I don't know. I don't have bandwidth for it, but now you do, right? Go to slightly larger marketing teams. You know, you have a dedicated SEO team. You have a dedicated paid media team, or at least a few individuals doing each of these separately. It can play a slightly different role. So in the Wordsmith, you know, as an example, we have a couple of templates for SEO specifically where you can categorize keywords by purchase intent. You know, you go to your SEM Rush, you get a list of keywords, and you know, you have a list of 1,000 keywords. How do I prioritize that, right? You have search volumes, you have difficulty, but you know, can I really go through all 1,000 and say, okay, this is medium purchase intent. You know, if somebody's searching for this is high purchase intent, right? So now AI can help, you know, break those out, and you have that additional layer of interpretation of the keywords given to you by AI, which says, you know, these are low intent keywords, these are medium, these are high intent. You can prioritize accordingly, right? It's not that every piece of content needs to be high intent, but you can mix it up, but AI can help you do that. It also lets you create content briefs. So say you don't want to use AI, you have really strong writing team, you know, you write technical content that, you know, AI cannot really match with, say, somebody who's a subject matter expert. But your bottleneck might be, you know, creating content briefs for them, right? We used to run into this a lot at my previous jobs, where the team would have the bandwidth to only create 2 content briefs a day, right? But you want to generate 3 articles a day. How do you do that? So that's where AI can play a different role, right? As the organization matures, and then eventually you get to the big brands, AI can play a significantly better, a different role there. There's no dearth of resources. Maybe it's ideation, maybe it's market research, maybe it is coming up with integrated campaign ideas, right? So I think it depends on every marketer and every team or the setup to see sort of where AI fits the best into your content creation and marketing efforts.
Yeah, that's really well said. I kind of like makes me think, have you had any recent like exposure to usage of the Wordsmith that has kind of given you some really good examples of how people are trying to use it? I'd love to kind of share with everybody how they could think about this and how, you know, what you've seen that's been maybe successful or interesting.
Yeah. If you look at the most commonly use tools and templates within the Wordsmith. I see a lot of usage for social media content ideation and creating social media posts out of the Wordsmith. To give you sort of taking one step back, a lot of our customers are that small to mid-sized startup type of teams that I sort of spoke about, where the bottlenecks are either on the resources side or on, you know, the throughput side, right? Either you don't have enough resources to run all initiatives, or you have bottlenecks that you would rather not have. So that's where I see most of the usage happening. So in social media post ideation, creating drafts for content, I think that's a very common use case that I see. And we have a built-in editor in the tool as well. So I see a lot of people like creating drafts and then, you know, refining it to their liking within the tool. Content improvement, that's another use case that I see being used a lot, where there is a piece of content that's already written that you plug into the tool. And because the tool now has complete understanding of your company product DNA and your brand DNA, it can rewrite that content or improve it to be in the tone of voice, have the right message pull through in whatever is being written, right? And message pull through, I think, is one thing that I think is super important in any piece of content. Your core beliefs and messaging has to be reflected in every piece of content. Doesn't have to be ads, right? Ads are pretty straightforward. You will explicitly call out your value propositions and your beliefs in them. But say you're writing an educational piece of content, how does your messaging and your beliefs, how do they implicitly get embedded in that content? And I think that's what the content improvement or even, you know, draft creation templates are helping users do. And idea expander, that's another one where oftentimes we get sort of these half-baked or, you know, not fully fleshed out ideas in our head. So how do we, you know, I want to write an article about what AI might look like in 2026. I have a couple of points in my head that I want to expand on, and the AI actually does that for you, right? So some of these sort of templates that are augmenting your workflows are working really well. That's what I see getting used the most. There are some users generating blog articles as well, but not at scale. We haven't observed users doing content spinning as sort of you articulated. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's good because content spinning at the time kind of made sense, but it was spam. It's unfortunately just spam, right? Right now, we really are trying to transcend that and do something better. And I think that as marketers or even just like business owners should be thinking about doing things better anyway. So on that kind of note, what's your take on like content quality and content scoring? Because I know there are a lot of tools out there and people that look at the perspective of if there's a way to grade content, can that help them write better or be consistent? Like, what are your thoughts there?
You can look at it two ways, right? And I'll give you one specific example at the end of what I mean. One is sort of you create content that passes a certain threshold or meets certain criteria that a platform or search engine might be looking for, right? Yeah. You have tools that tell you whether search engines can detect whether your content is AI generated or not. And I've tried this a lot early on while I was building the Wordsmith. You know, I put it in some of these tools and it's a hit or miss. Some identify content as AI generated, others say, no, this is 100% human, though I just, you know, click generate on in ChatGPT, right? Yeah. So there is some value in meeting certain table stakes quality criteria to when you generate content. But I think we got to take a step back and think what does our audience need, right? What are they looking for? And if you have that lens when you start creating content, then it doesn't matter whether you are augmenting it with AI or you're generating everything manually or a human is writing all of that. But I think that should be your sort of litmus test for what the quality of content should be. And the scoring changes. I have a very dear friend, an SEO expert as well, who doesn't recommend looking at algorithm changes at all. Like, you should not be worried about that because you optimize for Google algorithm updates. You never know what the next update is going to be, right? So you kind of build something that's comes from the ground up and not worry about sort of the... Because eventually all these algorithms are trying to do the same thing, is trying to find useful, high quality content. And the example I mentioned, like when you think about creating something that comes from the foundation or from the ground up and what your audience needs, there's one of my favorite podcasts is Acquired, right? And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but they're the two hosts of the podcast. They do deep dives on great companies and their histories, and every episode is 3.5 to 4 hours long, right? I mean, if you go by best practices or if you go by popular wisdom, you'll say, oh no, podcasts need to be 30 minutes, 45 minutes, right? And you sort of try to fit your content within the norms of what quality is perceived to be. But you listen to Acquired and you don't want to turn it off. Like there are very few movies that are that long, but you are willing to, you know, let's do a 3.5 hour podcast because it is very engaging. It is very authentic. They go deep into company history. And so just as an example, right? I mean, on the other hand, you know, you have brands like MailChimp. They have their own streaming platform for video content, you know, inspiring stories about founders. And they've taken it to a completely different level from ebooks and, you know, blog posts and so on. It's amazing the investment and the level of quality that they do and have their own streaming platform. They have tons of series. You know, you can follow founders and hear their stories, and some are funny, some are very inspiring, and it's a totally different take on content.
Well, that's why you're a professional in both marketing and engineering, because thinking about how even like the normal standards or considerable, like, you know, recommendations aren't necessarily a right fit for an audience or even for a particular effort, it makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, 3 hours seems like a lot, right? Especially when podcasts usually last about 30 minutes. But yeah, if you're talking about the right thing to the right people, you know, you better believe you have a sticky audience. Love to hear that. I mean, the same thing with me. Like, I listen to some podcasts around SEO and AI because that's of interest to me. So like SERPs Up, Leader Generation SEO, and I love SEO Unfiltered too, which are all kind of interestingly relevant to what you're talking about here and what the Wordsmith helps with, which is that with all these challenges that we're facing in terms of Google experimenting with SGE and a lot of changes, concerns around ethics and the use of AI content, and even like the perception of quality or experience that Google's looking for from content to make it unique. You know, I would love to kind of understand what, you know, how the Wordsmith specifically differentiates itself, because there are a lot of content generation tools that use AI now, but not all of them are equivalent. That's for sure. Yeah. So, you know, give me your take on like how you try to make the Wordsmith a little bit more unique. And I would say like the Swiss Army tool that has like that extra something.
Right. Yeah, it's been a journey. We keep thinking about, you know, context. What does context mean, right? So one is, you know, a company and brand DNA, but there's more. Context is, you know, it's pretty rich. It can come from many places. So what we did very recently is we enabled real-time access to news and Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are, I mean, LLMs, we all know, have, you know, training cutoff dates, you know, and a lot of AI tools that are built on top of these LLMs may or may not have access to the web in real time. I know you can do Bing with ChatGPT if you're a ChatGPT Plus subscriber, but that's not true with the free tier of ChatGPT or most other tools out there. So I was thinking, like, what can we do to bring, you know, more recency and more current context into content creation? Right, and we ran this fun little experiment. I love ChatGPT as a tool for how versatile it is. But you know, just as a fun exercise, I asked ChatGPT, you know, give me 10 ideas for social posts for marketers on the topic Sora. Right, mm-hmm. Of course, ChatGPT's training cutoff date predates Sora's announcement, and it did not know what Sora was. Right? So it gave me sort of in a completely different context. We asked the same thing to the Wordsmith and, you know, said, you know, take a look at recent news, and every social post idea was spot on. Like what does the future of video creation look like for marketing, right? Along those lines, because now it knows it has that context, right? We're also working on exploring other avenues of context to bring in, you know, things like, could we bring in consumer research and profiles and, you know, consumer behavior, actual consumer behavior, whether it's survey-based or other syndicated research, can we bring that in so that when I specify to the Wordsmith that, hey, my ideal customer profile is parents of young kids, you know, aged between 35 and 45 years old and working in tech. So what does that mean, right? How can I go beyond that? Can we tap into real market research data and say, now, if you're creating content ideas for this particular audience, you know, these are their attitudes and preferences and likes and dislikes. And the AI can then take that into account to create content accordingly or provide assistance accordingly. So the universe of context is constantly expanding. We went from company and product DNA to sort of external data, which is Twitter and news. And now trying to build, make it even stronger with market research and maybe other things we might explore.
I love how you brought up Sora too, because it's like, that's been amazing. And I was even going to ask you, are you sure you're not using a Sora bot right now? Because it's really convincing. It's amazing how like far the quality has gone, and the creativity of the video.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the videos they released with the announcement, you couldn't tell they were AI generated.
No, outside of it, just like some of the examples being like not real, like just like an alien, there's no such thing. Like you've never seen one in video. So they're really amazing. But yeah, I wanted to like also ask, I know this is kind of something that can be completely wrong, but it's fine. It's for us to kind of talk about. What do you see in terms of trends or the evolution of AI that you would want to maybe tackle or try to get on the Wordsmith in the future as you start to build, like you continue to build this with feedback, especially like, you know, just go outside there, out of your realm of normal or comfort, because there are so many things changing. So there's no way that we can predict everything, but I'd love to get your
thoughts. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, the pace at which the landscape is changing, I mean, every time OpenAI or Anthropic makes an announcement or Google, Gemini for the matter, you suddenly see the capabilities of AI just exploding exponentially, right? I mean, You look at Sora and you look at GPT-4, it's like, oh, or DALL-E, right? It's worlds apart. So, you know, as I think about, you know, 5 years from now, it's very hard to wrap your mind around what AI might look like even say 6 months from now. But as I think through it, and I'll talk more near term for now to start with, I'm thinking about ways to bring more multimodality to the content creation, right? So if you do a little bit of image creation right now, you can do, you know, blog featured images for blogs, you know, ad concepts, things like that. But how can we take that even further, right? One thing I experiment a lot with is how do you bring creative guidelines and brand guidelines into visual element creation with AI? That's something that I've struggled with AI tools as of now to respond well to. So things like use this certain color palette for creating an image. And at least I haven't had success doing that, where I can say, this is my color palette for the brand. This is my primary, these are the accents, and you know, here's the brand guide. And that I haven't been able to do yet. I think from the ground up, AI generates amazing imagery and visual elements, but I think that's something that I think in the short to medium term would love to solve, and, you know, bring that multimodal content creation to a level where you can apply a human touch without having to redo the whole image. But in the future, like if you stretch this out even further, there are a lot of use cases where co-pilots have become agents, right? I mean, if you take a co-pilot, I'm sitting with it, using it to help me do things better. But I'm missing the name right now, but a company recently released some numbers about their customer service set up with AI, where 2/3 of the calls were taken by AI and resolved, which accounted for like 500, 700 people worth of work, right? And I think that is something that I think about, like what aspects of marketing could eventually be given to agents, right? Maybe it's keyword research, maybe it's more of the groundwork and not the actual content creation, you know, doing customer research, coming back with ideas, or as an agent, right? Right now, it might give me 10 ideas for social posts, but I might still, you know, weed through them and see what's best. But maybe the agent level AI tool will be able to take care of a lot of that, where all you have to do is be the gatekeeper, right? Before something goes up. So I think that's where sort of at least my horizon right now is, or what the future looks like. I mean, I don't know what AGI is going to look like, but it's fascinating.
Yeah, I love that, because I've been kind of paying attention, and things have been moving far faster than even experts kind of predict. So we can only imagine. And then there's so many people working on this because it's so fascinating and it can be so useful and lucrative, right? So I get that. Well, this has been extremely enlightening. I think we've all learned quite a bit about both a little bit about the AI industry itself, but also more importantly, how the Wordsmith AI can help us with the ideation, conceptualization, architecting of tone, productivity. And I think one of my favorite things that I remember is the personalized workspace, because I think that kind of helps a lot with the work. And as you go through a workflow and you start to make the tool yours, that's a really strong way to use it in the business. The best part, in my opinion, is being able to hone that quality, especially as an SEO, and make sure that you can specify the content generation you want from the platform. But with that, I want to thank you so much, Rohan, for kind of making us smarter and more aware of all of this. And of course, I'd love to let you kind of know about how this all works and how we can get in touch or how people can possibly access or use the Wordsmith.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the pleasure was all mine. Great conversation. And as somebody talking to somebody who lives and breathes content every day, I think it's the conversation was fascinating. Really happy to be on the podcast. And thanks for having me. If folks want to try out the wordsmith.ai, the sign up is free. People can take it for a spin. No strings attached. It's at www.thewordsmith.ai. Yeah. And if anybody wants a demo, there is a book a demo link on the site as well. I'd be happy to jump on a call and give folks a walkthrough.
And I implore everybody to try it because it's really fascinating. And I think, Rohan, you've got like some of the best customization. I'm looking forward to those, being able to use those myself. So really thank you.
I'm certainly gathering feedback. So anything you like or dislike, absolutely let us know.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Philippe. Pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to Phraseology Plus AI. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it. Don't forget to sign up for our email list at phraseological.us. Give us a raving 5-star review anywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks in advance. Remember, stay curious, stay informed, and keep listening for more. Until next time, take care and happy listening.